this extra stressing, the question I wonder is after death, after my last breath, when will I finally get to rest through this oppression? Welcome, bienvenue, and new episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lucien Lebanon.
Boy is good.
All right, today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, August 24, 2025. Today's episode is also rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you don't have done with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast is definitely not for you. All right, shout out to all you listeners. Before we start this party, I'm going to ask you to applaud yourselves. Why? Because it's my goddamn podcast. But two, because if you are my target demographic of audience, my target audience, applauding yourselves is probably something you struggle to do for yourself. You applaud everyone else, but not yourself. And if this happens to be your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Yay! Here's hoping I say something on this episode that allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website. ShutUpPodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. And they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. In today's episode, titled 294, I'm tempted to call this one 294 episodes later, as in 294 episodes later. We'll see. But you know what? I talk about the big nothing. I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure. I know what I want to talk about. I just don't know what I want to say about it. So for now, I'm just going to call it the big nothing. But before we get to that, before we get to our featured thought, let's do some quotes and some randomness. You know what, B? You got a good thing going. You got a good thing going, man. Hang in there. Hang in there. All right, first quote. I don't know if this is, I should be calling it quote or thoughts or whatever, but at the crust of it, it's quote. Like, can it be a quote if there's no author? Man, whatever. All right, so first one goes, it's you versus you, and one of you has to die. Second quote. Your biggest enemy is your uncontrolled mind. This one's appropriate because part of the reason why this is appropriate is because I had a nightmare not too long ago. Actually, it was a dream, but it was a nightmare. But by the time I woke up, it made it clear that, yes, my biggest enemy is this uncontrolled mind. I won't go into the details, but sometimes dreams help you affirm things that you've always known. Last quote goes, mature enough to wish the best for people I no longer talk with and real enough to mean it. Yeah. This one is, for those of you who heard episode 293, it reminded me what I was saying about, not being able to be happy for people or being disappointed that people that I had beef with or didn't like or was convinced they were living their life fouls. And you look them up and you find out that they're doing well. And I was being honest when I spoke, but the ideal was to reach that level of maturity where you can wish the best for people you no longer talk to or don't even like. And not just saying, you know, yeah. I have, when I talk about preaching, when I talk about not wanting to preach, it's less about not wanting to preach, but more about preaching shit I don't actually practice. All right, let's jump to randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
All right. The camera I'm using to record myself went out of focus, and it was fucking with me for a second. But that's... focus, B Black. All right. Randomness. That's exactly what we do. I just share random thoughts, and I... unlike feature thought, I don't try not to dwell into it, even though it's a challenge for me. But the first one is, I posted about it on, Blue Sky. I needed to buy a USB cable for my, I was in the mall at the time picking up lunch, and I said, hey, there's a Best Buy. I went to Best Buy. Long story short, on one end, I'm an introvert. I like to keep to myself. But on the other end, the extrovert can come out, and I don't know. I like to crack jokes with people. But I give you this just to say that, you know, my experience at Best Buy, the salesperson I was dealing with, it was annoying, man. He was, at first I didn't see it, but I remember feeling that little annoyance is I pay for my shit. He gave me some good information about the cable I wanted to buy, to the point. Then it got to the cash, and I guess he got comfortable, and now he's like trying to upsell me. Say, hey, who'd you get your internet from? Who's your internet with? Well, because, you know, we handle that, too. We can take care of that. We buy cell phones, and we can take care of that, too. And, you know, these guys don't work on commission, but I remember the people pleaser, the sensitive, the, I don't want you to feel stupid. Part of me kicked in. I don't want you to feel stupid. I want you to feel like what you're telling me actually matters, so I'm going to fake an interest. It's whatever. Anyways, I that part of me came out. The expensive, whatever. I guess the mature thing would have been to be like, hey, shut the fuck up, I'm done. But it reminded me of, I remember leaving there and thinking, oh, that's why I prefer to buy shit online. Or that's what I get for, oh, wait a minute, Best Buy is not a Canadian business. Man, fuck them. Anyway, yeah. But I don't know. I'm thinking of all these people who complain about these generations don't go into malls anymore. Well, because if I have an option, if I have a choice, I won't. Yeah, the world's getting less social. What do you want me to tell you? There are annoying people out there. You know, that's not fair. There is annoying people, but I'm thinking of how my coping mechanism kicks in. And I'm actually mad for that guy putting me in that situation.
So you're a philosopher?
I just realized that I wasn't supposed to talk a lot about this one. I'm sorry, the previous topic of Best Buy, but yeah. Buy online, kids. All right, this one here, I'm just going to play and then share my thoughts afterwards. I labeled it as, am I lying? Or more like, is she lying?
Am I talking bad about you, or is what you did bad and I'm talking about it? Is what I'm saying wrong, or is what you did wrong and I'm saying it? Is it slander, or is it the truth? Is it shit talking, or is it your personality on display? Is it gossiping, or is it you made your bed, you lie in it? Food for thought.
All right, content creator's name is win_delay. Your full name is Kenley Windle. Windle. Win and no. Okay. The reason I'm sharing this is because one, she's accurate, and I love the fact that hold on. I meant to Google the word truth to power. Truth to power refers to courageously speaking against injustice, corruption, wrongdoing, especially to those in authority who hold the power to enact change. All right. Hearing her speak, one reminded me of how it reminded me of how I have this fear of holding people accountable and calling people on their bullshit. And what I like about what she said, the reminder was how there's been time I've confused telling the truth to someone with talking shit. Now, I don't mean hurting people's feelings, but if someone does something wrong, worth pointing out, if someone, for example, you catch someone yelling at their, yelling at their spouse, it's doing something wrong that's worth being like, hey, knock it out. That's fucked up what you're doing. To them, it's mind your own business, or you confronting me. These people will change it in a way where you're the villain in that story, when the truth is you're just speaking truth to power. Anyway, and I think some this attitude or this reason, this fear, despite for Heidi says, well, despite the obvious, but sometimes I think this culture of Canadian politeness has something to do with it too. Where I forget what that word is, where you want fake peace. You want peace where peace that comes from not reacting to the problematic person in the room, as opposed to, hey, motherfucker, check yourself before you wreck yourself. And I think of, and I'm wondering about, and as this culture of Canadian politeness, I'm also wondering if the little slight tangent is, I wonder if Drake was a victim of Canadian politeness when Kendrick, in his attempt to compliment the guy and say, yo, you are a worthy competitor. I'm trying to murder you niggas. Yeah. And I wonder if from a Canadian polite perspective, hearing someone tell you that, it's hard to see beyond the, oh, it's a compliment. You're like, what, you want to kill me? What? Whatever. It's shit you don't. I just realized, I don't think some of you will see the link between Drake's response to Kendrick, Control Verse, and Canadian politeness. But I'm just saying how truth, our inability to respond to the truth. I think this is what I'm trying to get at. This is going to be one of those topics that I might need to revisit. But anyways, speaking truth to power, I respect what she did, what she's saying. And I'm just talking about a fear. I wish I could talk to you about getting over it. I mean, overcoming that fear, but no, it's a thing.
So you're a philosopher?
All right. This randomness is, I'm putting this down under people suck. I was in a barbershop talking meal shit, you know, in the barbershop. I was in the barbershop and we were just having a conversation about relationship. We were just talking about relationship. But the problem is, I want to say we were talking about relationship. It was more like the people talking were giving me examples of relationship that made them laugh. And one example was, it was humor. It was. We were laughing at it. But one example was, one person was telling me how he knows this one guy who's in a relationship he's in a relationship, and how there's like a control factor, and how he's got this rule in his household no one touches the furnace. And this person happens to like shit cold, like a cold environment. And the joke was about how he'll see his wife in the, because there's FaceTiming him, he'll see the guy's wife in the background and she's got blankets and sweaters all over her. And then that's the punchline. And I remember my first thought was, that doesn't sound like a wife. That sounds like a hostage. And where I'm going with this is, I should be careful because that's not what the conversation was about, but it was more me leaving away with the idea of, it just had me thinking about people who get into relationships with people and no intentions of being an improvement or an addition to their partner's lives. Like they, it's not about love. It's about control. People who need to be in a relationship for the sake of being able to control the other person and make them miserable. Because the idea is, there's a lot of relationships where motherfuckers did not master the concept of, not compromise, but okay, hear me out. I'll hear you out, you hear me out, we figure out a solution. No, it's always one way over the other. You know what? I think because I'm not trying to vilify the people I'm having this who I was having a conversation with, because you had to have been there. It's just me who's left with this idea of people in relationship looking for relationships, and all they plan to be is a fucking anchor, a sinking ship. And because of their fear of being alone, they got to take someone down with them. And, well, one, people suck. And two is, I think about the criticism or the I've ever gotten or the shit I've gotten, the bullshit I've gotten for not being in a relationship from people like that. It's like, they'll look at me, oh, you're single, whatever, insert, insult, whatever, but live with your cat, bet you're unhappy. And meanwhile, like, they'll brag about their happiness about, yeah, but what about your partner? What about the fact that you are the worst thing to happen to your partner? I part of the reason I was thinking about this is because there was a video that I saw on TikTok. That's where this line of thinking came from. There's this video I saw on TikTok of these two guys on some alpha male podcast, some bullshit alpha male podcast. It was a clip. I didn't watch the podcast, but it was a clip. And these two guys were just complaining about their wives or their girlfriend, partner, whatever, just bitching about them. But it's common conversation, just men, oh man, she's so stupid, you know, bitching about their wives. And I remember growing up on that idea that that's what relationship was about, finding someone that you're going to spend the rest of your life bitching about. And I'm listening to these guys, and my first thought was, yo, these dudes better hope that their wives, their partner, never reads a book or never finds themselves realizing that, you know what? Being single is way better than what I have right now. Oh, no. Well, maybe their self-esteem is low enough and they'll die with these guys believing that they are in the happiest relationship in their lives. But yeah, anyway, I was just, it bothered me, man. It bothered me. It's like, yo, if you're not happy, leave her. Do her a fucking favor. And whatever, man. That's, what do I know? I'm the single guy talking about other people's relationships. It just bothered me, man. It's like, either be with the person or not.
So you're a philosopher?
All right, for this one here, I'm going to play this TikTok clip. And it's non-traditional. Okay, needless to say, you have to watch this clip for yourself. But the title is, or the first slide is, non-traditional things we did at our weddings and would 100% do again. And it's a bunch of slides. It's on TikTok. Links are in the show notes. And it's wedding pictures of two women getting married. And some of the non-traditional things is personal charcuterie boxes, no wedding party. I guess the, I don't know what this image, I don't see anything in traditional, whatever. DIY our wedding signs. And help yourself. Okay, I'm going to get to the end. Micro wedding, 30 people and less on purpose, only close friends and family. Good for you. And our decorations, no heels. She's wearing sneakers. God bless it. And then this is why I'm sharing this clip. This is why I'm talking about this clip, because it's my favorite part, because the last slide has the two words, be you. You make your own rules, your wedding. Do what you want. Do what you want to do. You won't regret it. One, I appreciate this message of authenticity, of being is doing you. And I love the fact that it comes from a not your usual heterosexual couple. This one time I emceed a wedding, and I remember I was thinking of there was a time in the wedding where I had to find a game, an activity to keep the people distracted while I forget what the whatever. I just need to keep people distracted, and I found myself looking up, playing a game on I think it was, is this a healthy relationship? I don't know, good relationship or whatever, whatnot. You know, I forget what the fuck what the game was about. But in preparing for the game, I did some research and learned how, I read this thing about how the best couples are the ones who aspires, the best relationship are the inspirational ones. That's what I'm getting at. This links to the previous randomness that I brought up, and it's like, it's always the uninspiring people, the people in uninspiring relationships that want to nag you about how you should be in a relationship. While in this case, what I appreciate about this couple, especially a lesbian couple, how I know they're in a good thing because of the inspiration I got. I don't even know these people. I just look at their wedding pictures and I'm already feeling inspired to just do you. I'm just appreciative of the message. All right, that's it. So shout out to them. Blessings all over, and blessings to you if you're like them.
So you're a philosopher?
All right, this is the last one, and this one had me thinking, and I labeled it under being a woman who loves hip hop. I'm just gonna share her words and then follow up with my own.
Being a woman who loves rap music is really difficult, like the cognitive dissonance you have to practice. I've been obsessed with this new Clips album. It's crazy. There's one song on it, Mike Tyson, Blow to the Face. Mm-hmm. The sound of the song, the actual production on the song, is not my favorite, so I often skip this one. But now and again, I'll listen because I really like the way that Malice and Pusha rap, always have. But the lyrics, she want that Mike Tyson, Blow to the Face. Naturally, there's the substance reference. Mike Tyson is notorious for having used said substance, but also Mike Tyson is a boxer, so he hits other boxers in the face. And if it was only that double entendre, I love it. But it's the fact that the line is, she want that Mike Tyson blow to the face, and Mike Tyson has several allegations of hitting women, notably Robin Givens. And he gloated about hitting Robin Givens. In fact, he said that was his best punch ever. A professional boxer said a woman was the best punch he ever gave. I can't imagine that Pusha and Malice are not aware of that piece of Mike Tyson's history. But, you know, this is what being a female rap fan is, unfortunately.
This is actually the third time I listened to it, but now I just picked up on a few things. I wasn't aware that Tyson had said that, and but I do remember the first time I heard this message. It first I want to acknowledge the fact that yes, I when I talked about the Clips album And I did mention that part of Mike Tyson blow to the face. And I'm like, kind of a little domestic abusive, right? Whatever. I remember acknowledging that. But yeah, first time I heard this clip, it had me thinking. It's one of those, I don't have a response. I don't know. I feel the need to say something that won't silence her. Or, because it's a good point. That's what I'm trying to say. It's enlightened what she just said. But it was easy for me. Like, a part of me was defensive. It's like, well, are you trying to censor these rappers for what they're saying? And, I think what I actually said was, she asked a question, or she said, those dudes must have known what they were saying when they made that Mike Tyson reference. And that's what I'm wondering is, was it intentional, or were they speaking their truth, or was it both? Right now, I really want to be clear that I am not trying to take away from what she said. It is an interesting point, but at the same time, she's not calling for censorship. Let's be clear. She's just saying, "Yo, okay, here's where the new thought that I have is." She's just sharing her experience as a woman who listens to hip hop. She wasn't saying ban that shit. She was just saying, for me, I have to shut down a part of my brain when they say shit like that. And it had me thinking about, I'm going to talk about this week, I was blessed. My ears were blessed with listening to Raekwon's new album, Ghostface's new album, and Coast Contra. I don't know if it's an album or if it's a mixtape, but there's 5 songs on it. But the hip hop Santa Claus was good to us these past few months, and with the Clips album. But it must have been, I think it was Ghostface, who said a line that reminded me of, oh yeah, listening to hip hop as a highly sensitive person, black person or person. Is also, what's the word she used? Is, I also have to be like, don't take it personal. Because hip-hop is very, like, ultra-masculine. It's very rah, 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 real men diss. I get bitches. I murder my enemies, and I'm tough, and I don't cry during Bambi. I went with Bambi, but I don't, whatever, man. But there's also a lot of lines of, 2 lines is, about being sensitive, because sensitive, and I've rarely heard, no, that's not true. I was going to say, no, you know what? No, it's true. I've rarely heard being sensitive being said in a good way in hip hop. Granted, shout out to Tupac. He may not have, and shout out to Kendrick. But there's a lot of time, well, 2 things. 2 things is being sensitive is a no-no in hip-hop, and saying shit like, there's a line, a very common line in hip-hop, it's like how I expose your femininity, or you know, hip-hop is not the place to say I embrace the femininity. I'm a man who embraces the woman inside me, or who embraces, who's trying to be authentic. It's like, as a man, you're supposed to be a toxic man, a toxic male. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not censoring, but I'm saying this is me relating to what she's saying, or making a connection to what she's saying. It's true. I'm in the category of people who listens to hip hop and is mindful about, okay, this shit doesn't apply to me. Actually, I've always known this, especially when they were talking about selling drugs and things like that, and or being a, I don't know, black capitalistic shit. You know what? Sometimes I listen to hip hop the same way I listen to gospel, and that I don't pay attention. There's times where I have to mute the lyrics. In gospel, anytime they say I love Jesus or shit like that, mute. I'm not listening to that. I'm there for the whole package. I'm just trying to say, I hear you, sis. I think bottom line is, I hear you, sis. And I'm not talking solutions. We're not saying what hip hoppers need to do differently, but it's something to think about. It's worth, yeah, it's something worth thinking about. On that note, this concludes Quotes and Randomness. Now it's time for Feature Thought. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. You got a lot of time to speak. All right. Gang, I won't lie, man. I for this particular Feature Thought, I'm a little... I have a fetus of an idea of what I want to talk about. And instead of taking the time to write it down, I feel the need to just say something. It's my goddamn podcast. But two, also, I don't, this could be interesting or this might be a fail, but you know what? This might be a two-part series, but I find myself thinking about balancing between mortality and public speaking, my passion for public speaking. So I think I'll start with mortality. And this is the part where I'm not sure what I'm trying to say. No, I do know what I'm trying to say. I'm just struggling between what I want to say, what I should say, and what the world wants me to say. And I'm reminding myself the reason I podcast is because I want to say the shit that I want to say so the rest of the world can go fuck themselves. Okay, this might be morbid, gang. This shit might be morbid. I have to warn you. If you are having suicidal thoughts, this is not... You might want to skip this episode. Because what I'm about to... I'm going to talk about the theme of death. I'm going to talk about death. And I might be irresponsible about my words. But this is just... Again, this is just me trying to have an honest conversation with this microphone here. Finding my voice. That's really what it is. Oh, man. All right. Okay. I'm getting... All right. So... I've been reflecting on the idea that my life might not matter. There, it's out. And what I mean by that, and I want to be careful, it's meant to be... I say that in a way that's meant to be, that's supposed to be a liberating thought. I guess the shit, that thought is a double-edged sword. There was a time where, okay, what inspired today's thought was a, I've had this thought for a while, but I've put it in the show notes. It's labeled on the, in the other links section as 3 hours of liberating philosophy to fall asleep to. I have shit playing in the background, because I'm not a normal person. I need noise in the background. But that's not the point. All right, I'm delaying here. I'm stalling. There was a period in my life, early 2000. I keep using the word. I don't know if I was suicidal, but I do know that the idea of death felt like a solution to all my problems. I remember that I was in that mindset. And I've talked to my therapist about this, right? And the thing is, even when I was in that zone, in that mindset, I felt there was something empowering. There was a part that was empowering because I was pretty much adopting the philosophy of the art of not giving a fuck, which is a book that I've read. And by read, I meant did the audiobook. I took it in. The art of not giving a fuck. And that's what I realized that I was tapping into because I was starting to feel like the idea of mortality, there was something liberating. It's like one of the things that I did when I was in that zone was decluttering my apartment. And the idea of, and what was my motivating thought is, it's like, dude, either get rid of this shit or someone else. Because I kept having images of passing away, dying, being dead, and then my place being that the bank repossessed. I don't know how it works, but bank repossesses my place. I don't know how it works. But the idea that, okay, well, we need to empty this shit and all this shit that I have around that to me is quote unquote, all this material shit that I have left is just being thrown in the garbage or being disposed of. But I'm not around to say, hey, I need that. But the idea of dying made it easier to declutter my place. Shit was said that. I think that's because you start thinking about what actually fucking matters. The reason I went with the title of when I was explaining the I'm going to talk about the big nothing. It's an episode of The Sopranos. It's amazing how I'm quoting The Sopranos a lot. An episode of The Sopranos where Tony Soprano's mother, she's like, apparently she was depressed and she kept saying how life is all bullshit. It's just one big nothing or the absurdity of life. And yeah, no, this dude had me the idea that Earth has been around for billions of years. Am I correct? Not 60, fuck you with your 6,000 years, but it's been around for a while. And I've only caught up to the 1997, even that year is not even accurate. But I'm here when I die. There's a whole future of me not being around. And yo, this dude, I know, it sounds like this dude was depressing, but no, the point is he was trying to say like, look, man, you're just a bleep. You're less of a droplet in the context of this universe of existence. And the dude had me thinking about people who've existed and whose names we don't even know. The fucking peasants, the people who died in whatever. People come and go. People die every day, B. Niggas die every day, B. People with unique personality just disappear. And it has you thinking on what's the point. It does have you thinking about what's the point. But what I like about what he was saying is, because I guess I was trying to let go of my Christian upbringing. My philosophy, it's like you're on earth to live a life, and then life is preparation for the afterlife. I used to be a big believer in that shit. It's like, you know, the idea is like you want to go to heaven, and then, you know, and then people are like, and the ancestors are like, well done. But then I stopped believing in an afterlife. It's just pitch blackness. You know what? I think this might be a two parts because, again, mortality. It's a double-edged sword on one end. I'm like, if it doesn't mean anything, then fuck it. I'm emptying my bank account and all the credits because that shit's not going with me into the afterlife. And I'm buying a shitload of drugs. And I'm going out. And I'm going out high. I mean, but I'm buying this shit. I'm like, this shit better kill me. Stuff like that. Look, I don't have that kind of access. But I'm saying if life is one big ass bullshit, then what the fuck stopping me from just going out Mac Miller style, drug overdose. But on the flip side, and I guess this is where the point to why this thought is liberating, it's supposed to be liberating, is you stop giving a fuck about things that don't deserve for you to give a fuck about. One of them is like this. You know when you work a job, like I work a job that it's paying for my lifestyle. It's paying for this podcast equipment. But it doesn't touch my soul. And this is why I realized this is going to be a second part is because I was toying with the idea of my mortality and you're not special. The idea that you're not fucking special. There's 8 billion motherfuckers on this planet. And some of them have bigger dicks than you. You know, that's not the point. But 8 billion people on this planet. You ain't special. Sure, you're unique, but you're unique. but you're not special. You know, like that kind of those two conflicting paradoxical thoughts conflicting with each other. Anyways, it's been a struggle. Now, this is the part where, to go from morbid, this shit ends with a happier ending. Again, I want to make sure. Yeah, again, I'm not trying to preach to you about what you should do, but I'm just saying, to be or not to be. The happy ending is, I recently, it's funny, on the last episode, I love the connection, man. Maybe this is why I was complimenting this my podcast. I love the connection. On the last episode, I talked about this white boy in the section on Kendrick's white fans. There's this dude who does a deep dive on the beef between Kendrick and Drake. And in the process, there's a part where he talks about sometimes saying less is more, shit like that. And he exposed a book called Say It Well by Terry Zuplat. And I remember seeing that book and telling myself, oh, shit, I like the idea. I would love to get better at podcasts. I would love to be more succinct, if that's the word. I would love, because I know I have this habit of rambling on. By the way, that's why I say shout out to you listeners. If you're paying attention to me, you are a unique human being. I'm used to people being like, what the fuck is he talking, or walking away, or not being able to follow. The only thing that keeps them around, or it's my big tits. I mean, my jokes. Yes. So I love the idea when the guy said that, I love the idea of developing the art of not saying more than I need to. So when I saw the book, I looked it up, and I, two things that caught my attention. Terry Zuplat. Sorry. Because in French it's funnier. Zuplat, anyways, S-Z-U-P-L-A-T. He's a White House speechwriter for Obama. And it's, dude had me at the intro. So I listened to the preview. The preview was so fucking good. I actually bought the book too, because there's some shit I want to highlight. But the preview, the introduction to that book, homie, reminded me of my passion for public speaking. If I've never admitted this to myself, I'm admitting it to me now. And I'm realized, and it had me realize, it's like it came out. And I remember struggling, but the two thoughts. It's like life being a big nothing and the idea of public speaking would compensate for that big nothing. If it is a big nothing, then let me die public speaking. I do enjoy speaking in front of an audience. And I'm realizing me speaking on this podcast is kind of simulating speaking in front of an audience, one. Two, and this is why I'm thinking of calling this episode 294 episodes later, because I had a big wow, a big aha moment, a big realization, and how, because there's been times where I'm like, this podcast, what the fuck is this point? I don't have an audience. I don't have a big audience. I don't have, I don't go on, appear on guests. Like, I don't put any efforts to promote myself and shit like that. But the one thing I do know it is working for me is it's been allowing me to find my voice. I, pre-COVID, pre this series, I used to be part of the Toastmaster program, and I was doing well in there, man. I was, moving up the ranks. I was participating in competition, and from doing competition, I was like exploring constantly exploring getting out of my comfort zone. It was from there where I found the courage and the confidence to do stand-up comedy. I've always thought, the thought of being a public speaker has always been in my mind. I like it. It's one of those things that I wish, if I could go back in time, I would tell my younger self, yo, tap into that talent. You were meant to be heard. Oh my God. I think that's going to be the title of today's episode. You are meant to be heard. I'm saying this. Yeah, I made my point of mortality. Maybe that's why I'm bored out of life. Maybe that's why I'm not seeing the benefits of living, because I'm not actually doing the shit that I'm passionate about. And who gives a fuck whether I make it, whether I'm just some dude selling cassette tapes of my speeches. I don't know. I still need to see what my what's available for someone who wants to be a public speaker besides stand-up comedy. Because I know it's not preaching, that's for sure. But I do know that's what I want. I need to tap into that skill because it's one of the few things in life that gives me. Let me put it this way. I was talking about getting high. I mean, okay, if getting high is illegal, then maybe public speaking will be the closest thing to that high. Damn. All right. Oh, man. The thing I figured out what I was trying to say. So, yeah, man. No, I remember when I was listening to this book and I was thinking about podcasting. 294 episode was a bunch. It was just me going wax in, wax off. Is that what it said? Wax in, wax off? No. Wax in, wax off? Am I saying that? The crocodile. Wax in, wax. Wax off. Fuck, I hate when yeah, it is wax in, wax off. Right. And for those of you who haven't seen Karate Kid 1984, it's, what does that mean? Wax in, wax off is an approach towards life and outside the workplace. Wait, what? It's acceptance of patience, awareness. Wait, what the fuck? You guys are making shit up. Look, man, for you kids who've never seen The Karate Kid, not the one with Will Smith's kid, the one before it, the original one. And Mr. Miyagi, his sensei, had him like wash cars. And it was like wax in, throwing wax. So move your arm in one circular fashion, move your arm in move your right hand in one circular fashion and the other one in another circular fashion. And it was prep work. That's the point. It looked like mundane bullshit, but it was prep work. And then once he mastered wax in, wax off, he was, the Karate Kid was like, ooh, okay, I can defend myself. I mean, it's a fucking movie, man. Look, I was raised on an 80 movie. I mean, sure, it was bullshit, but the point is the feeling like podcasting, if it's nothing, if it doesn't go large, if it doesn't lead to success, it's either leading me, I'm either going to be successful at it or it's the stepping stone to something I want to do next. And then one thing, like I've been saying, I've been slowly getting comfortable with my own voice, my own opinion, my own thought. This is actually part of why I don't have a guest or a co-host. Because in the previous iteration of Shut Up Podcast, I would have guests on. And I'm realizing that I used to hide behind the guests the same way. I've made this joke a million times, but I'm going to say it again for you new listeners. But I was using my co-host or guests the same way you would use a friend to be like, hey, go tell that girl I like her. Because I was scared of my audience. I was scared of the audience. I was scared of them seeing me by myself. On that note, I feel I need to say, I feel like I said what I needed to say. On that note, this concludes today's episode, boys and girls, and everything and everyone in between. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it and having this moment of aha-ness and whatever. And if I had a call to action, I don't know. I want to say, like, shout out. Holla if you hear me. And then that should probably be the theme here. Holla if you hear me. If you understand, if what I said resonated, holler at me. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website. You can find all kinds of way to contact me. Or you can, if you want to be traditional, you can email me at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You think this is my first time wrapping up an episode. Oh, right. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. We are a unique kind of black folks. I represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question.
Are you an outcast?
Man, from the bottom. Oh, wait, I'm not done yet. This episode was rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. I know, I really mean it. I mean, fuck Whitey. Get the fuck on. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, as a motherfucking crew. And if you don't be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all.
I am your king now!